singing praises to the Lord. I believe that this is an important practice for every believer. The reason why is because the Christian who sings the praises of the Lord, here's what they're doing. We're giving credit where credit is due. And listen, there are few things worse, in my opinion, few things worse than those times when credit is being given to the wrong person. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. For example, how do you feel whenever your boss comes along and sings the praises of your coworker, all the while you know you are the one that did the work? They're getting the praise, you did the work, and doesn't that just get right up under your skin? Or maybe you're hanging out with your family, it's a family reunion, and your parents begin to talk about you and your siblings, and they begin to give credit for something that you did, something awesome, but they're giving credit to your brother or to your sister. You stop them. How come you're not remembering this correctly? I did that awesome thing. I deserve the praise. Without debate, I believe that we all agree, praises belong to the one who is praiseworthy. And with that being the case, I can't help but to wonder, how many times in a day do we fail to give God the credit for the great things that He has done? How often do we sing the praises of the wrong person, all the while failing to recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the God who is our heavenly helper? Here in our study today, we're continuing to make our way through a six-week series called Praiseology. And as I pointed out in our first study last week, we're using the word praise as an acronym. And I believe that this acronym, praise, it'll help us to better grasp a biblical theology of what proper praise is. I'll remind you here that this acronym PRAISE, it refers to the proclamation, the recognition, the adoration, the identification, the salutation, and the exaltation of God. And I believe that this acronym will help us to define and engage in the proper expression of praise. In our study last week, we learned that the letter P, it refers to the proclamation of God's praiseworthiness. But now, here in our study today, we're going to look at the R in praise, and we'll consider how proper praise flows from our hearts when we begin to recognize that God is our heavenly helper. With this as our focus, it's important for us to understand that the person who fails to recognize that the Lord is our heavenly helper, what ends up happening is that they also fail to give credit where credit is due. When we fail to recognize that the Lord is the one who is helping us all along the way, well, we begin to give credit to ourselves. We begin to sing the praises of somebody else who came along and lent us some money or helped us out of a jam. And we sing their praises, and what we fail to recognize, it was the Lord who was helping us all along. He's the one who deserves the praise. Well, in order to avoid this faithless failure of praising the wrong person, I want to spend our time this morning learning how, number one, we should engage in proper praise by recognizing that the Lord helps us overcome our physical distress. Secondly, this morning, we're going to learn how we should also engage in proper praise by recognizing that the Lord helps us overcome our spiritual distress. Thirdly, this morning, we'll consider how we should engage in proper praise by recognizing that the Lord helps us overcome our emotional distress. And finally, today, we'll learn that we should engage in proper praise by recognizing that the Lord helps us overcome every social distress. Well, this is our outline. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22, because there we find King David presenting proper praise to the Lord because the Lord helped him to overcome every distress. As you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, I want to set the stage for our study today. And I want to remind you here that here in our text today, we find King David, he's quickly approaching the finish line of his life. And as David began to consider all of the ways that the Lord had helped him throughout his entire life, he began to present proper praise to the Lord. And here in our chapter today, we find him singing Psalms chapter 18. It's from this outpouring of praise that I believe that we would do well to examine the reasons for David's rejoicing. And so with this in mind, let's look there at 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to begin reading at verse 4. There David declares, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Now here in these verses, we find King David. He's continuing to sing the praises of God. And as we continue to examine the lyrics of this song that are actually found in Psalm 18, we must not fail to notice here that David was actually declaring the praiseworthiness of God. He's saying God is worthy to be praised because the Lord had become his heavenly helper who bailed him out of every distress. And as David recalled the way in which he sought help from the Lord, he was rejoicing in the fact that the Lord was not only able to hear his cries for help, but he was also able to help him. You see, there are false gods out there, and people cry out to those false gods. But those false gods don't exist. And so not only can they not hear those cries for help, but they can do nothing for that person who needs help. And so David's saying, hey, the Lord not only heard me, but he showed up and helped me. And so he proclaimed the praiseworthiness of God because the Lord helped him to overcome every distress. And with this in mind, I want to notice again there at verse 4, because there David declares, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now here in this verse, we find David. He's saying, hey, I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to call upon the Lord because he's worthy to be praised, and he hears me, and he shows up, and he helps me. I should point out that the word call there in verse 4, it's translated from a Hebrew word which refers to a cry for help. He's saying, hey, I'll cry for help to the Lord. Therefore, according to David here, the Lord was worthy to be praised because he knew that his heavenly helper was able to hear him and help him in his time of distress. Now, one reason for this great faith of David, this faith that led him to believe that he could cry out to the Lord and receive help from God, this great faith was based on the fact that the Lord had always been there in the past. He's saying, hey, I will call upon the Lord because every time I called upon the Lord in the past, he always showed up and helped. As a matter of fact, look with me there at verse 7. There David declares, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Speaking past tense. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. That same word, I cried out for help. I cried out to my God, he says, he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Now here in this verse, we find David, he's recounting the times when the Lord responded to his cries in times past. And as he recognized the ways in which the Lord had helped him during his times of distress, he was prompted to proclaim the praises of his heavenly helper. He decided to give credit where credit was due, and credit was due at the doorstep of the Lord. Now, in order to better understand the way that the Lord became David's heavenly helper here, we should spend some time examining the different types of distress that he mentions here in this text. And I want to examine the first type of distress that he mentions there at verse 5. If you would look again there at verse 5, there David recalled the times when the waves of death surrounded him. And here in the statement, we find David, he's referring to the physical distress that came upon him like ocean waves crashing upon the rocks of a battered shoreline. As we begin to explore this statement, we should first consider how the waves of the ocean, well, they're constantly ebbing and flowing. And while it's true that these oceanic waves, they crash against the shore with varying levels of intensity, sometimes the waves are huge, and sometimes they're hardly noticeable. And despite the varying levels of intensity of these waves, the fact is this, that the waves never cease to reach the shore. Based on this, I'm guessing that David probably felt like the waves of death that had surrounded him, they were constantly crashing upon the shores of his life. Sometimes they were just little bitty waves. Sometimes they were humongous. But they were always there. It's for this reason that David was constantly crying out to the Lord for his heavenly help. Now, as we continue to consider these waves of death that David was singing about, it'll help us to understand that David wasn't referring to literal oceanic waves. He wasn't talking about the waves that surfers pray for every day. Now, David was poetically referring to the waves of attacks that came from his enemies who were on every side of him. To prove my point, consider how the prophet Jeremiah, he likened the army of Egypt to the rising waters of a flood. He compared the army of Egypt to the waters that move like the rivers. And from Jeremiah's description, comparing an army to these flood waters, I believe that David's waves of death, they're referring to the attacks of the enemy. In light of Jeremiah's description, it seems likely to me that the waves of death that surrounded David, they were quite literally the attacks of the enemies, all those enemies who were seeking to take David's life. And as we take a moment to remember the waves of death that actually surrounded David, we quickly see that David truly was dealing with a great amount of physical distress. For example, David was distressed by the waves of death that came from the Syrian army who lived to the north of Israel. Not only did he have waves of death coming from the north, but there was the army of the Amalekites who lived to the south. And so these waves of death would come from that army living to the south. Furthermore, there were the Moabites and the Ammonites who lived to the east. And so these waves of death would come from the east as they attacked David. And then from the west would come the army of the Philistines. So there were just waves of death surrounding David. Now, as we consider all of the physical distress which was caused by the waves of death that came from all of these armies surrounding Israel, we must also take a moment to remember that David, well, he still praised the Lord even during these times of distress. Though these waves of death surrounded him, he still managed to praise the Lord. Though he was experiencing great levels of physical distress, he still praised the Lord. And the reason why is this. He recognized that the Lord was always there to provide him with heavenly help. Now, in order to prove my point, if you would hold your place here in 2 Samuel chapter 22, turn with me to Psalms chapter 116. It's there in the middle of your Bible, Psalms 116. It's here in the 116th Psalm where we find a psalmist who I truly believe is David. It's an unnamed psalmist, but the way he writes, he sounds just like David. And so I'm assuming that this is David writing. But this unnamed psalmist, he's dealing with the physical distress that came from waves of death that surrounded him. And he dealt with this distress by calling upon the heavenly helper who was always there to save him from those who were attempting to kill him. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at Psalm 116, I want to begin reading at verse 1 because there the psalmist, he praises the Lord by declaring, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful." Now, here in these lyrics, here in this song of praise, we find the psalmist, who again, I believe is King David. He's singing the praises of the Lord because the Lord saved him from the pains of death that surrounded him. And though he was dealing with the physical distress of a life-threatening situation, well, he still praised the Lord. He still offered praises to the Lord because he recognized that the Lord was his heavenly helper. And so despite the distress, the physical distress that he was facing, he still offered proper praise to the Lord. It's in similar fashion that I believe that we too will be moved to proper praise. We too will be moved to praise the Lord with rounds of rejoicing as we recognize that God is here to provide us with heavenly help from every physical distress. Now, as we consider the sort of physical distress that we might be facing here today, it's possible that you're here this morning and you're surrounded by the physical distress of an incurable illness. You might be preparing for a life-threatening surgery and you're facing physical distress. As a result, you feel like the waves of death are crashing upon the shores of your life. And every time you receive more bad news, it's just more waves and more waves. It's also possible that your job is the source of your physical distress. Maybe you work in law enforcement, and you know that every time you go out, your shift could result in a life-threatening situation. Maybe there's been several times in your career in law enforcement that you found yourself surrounded by waves of death. Or maybe you work with the fire department or a branch of the military and you know that your life could be in danger within a moment's notice. Maybe it's job related in this sense. Maybe you work in the tech industry and you're worried about that day that's soon to come when the robots will rise up and force us into the matrix. You're worried about becoming the power source of our robot masters. If so, then you need heavenly help. And probably some professional counseling. But seriously, no matter what sort of physical distress you find yourself facing today, the Lord wants to become your heavenly helper. And listen, as you begin to recognize that God is the one who can help us to overcome every physical distress, then it's not long until you find yourself offering proper praise to the one who not only hears our cries for help, but he shows up and he helps us. From this we see then that proper praise flows from our hearts whenever we recognize that the Lord is here to help us. And he's here to help us to overcome every physical distress. And not only that, but we also engage in proper praise when we begin to recognize that the Lord is also here to help us overcome our spiritual distress. And with this as our focus, let's turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 22, because there we find David. He's writing about the spiritual distress that he was facing during the days of his life. And if you would, look with me again there at verse 5, because there David declares, "When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid." Now here in the second half of this verse, we find King David, he's praising the Lord. And he's praising the Lord because he recognizes here that God not only helped him deal with the physical distress, which he referred to as the waves of death, but he's also praising the Lord because he recognizes that God was there to help him to overcome the spiritual distress that he was facing. With this in mind, notice with me again there in the second half of verse 5. There we find David referring to his spiritual distress by saying, "The floods of ungodliness made me afraid." It'll help us to understand here that this word flood, it refers to a river torrent which is constantly flowing. And in this context, it's a word that appears to be referring to a river that has overflowed its banks, resulting in the sudden and unexpected destruction which is caused by a flash flood. I used to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and flash floods were a big problem. Everything's dry, and all of a sudden a huge storm blows through, and all the rivers fill up, and if you're in the area, you're going to get swept away. These flash floods, they could just pop up out of nowhere and just destroy everything in its path. But David wasn't referring to literal waters of a flash flood, was he? No, David was speaking metaphorically. He was referring to the sudden and destructive flood of ungodliness. He was referring to this flood of ungodliness that occurs whenever ungodly men are left to pursue their own sinful desires. As a matter of fact, notice with me again there at the end of verse 5, because there David refers to the floods of ungodliness. That word ungodliness, it's translated from a Hebrew word which speaks of the destruction that's caused by the wickedness of sin. And based on the meaning of this word, well, we can see how this flood of ungodliness, it was more literally an overflow of wickedness. And it was this overflow of wickedness that was causing spiritual distress in the life of David. I'll remind you that David, well, he kind of caused his own spiritual distress. David caused his own spiritual distress by allowing his own wickedness to overflow the banks of his life. And it resulted in a great deal of destruction. Remember, David, because of his lustful nature, he had a man named Uriah killed. He sent Uriah into battle and then sent word that all of the army should pull back and leave Uriah there in the midst of that battle. And as a result, Uriah ended up dying. And he did that because he committed adultery with Uriah's wife Bathsheba, and she became pregnant. He wanted to cover that up. And that was his final attempt to cover up his wickedness. And yet the Lord knew. And the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to rebuke King David. And from that rebuke, David learned that there would be rebels within his own household who would rise up against him. And it wasn't long before Absalom rose up against David. Absalom killed his brother Amnon and led the nation of Israel against David. And for several years, David dealt with the spiritual distress that was caused by his own flood of ungodliness. It was his own wickedness that led to all of this distress. We should also notice there where David tells us that this destructive overflow of wickedness, it left him filled with fear. Notice there at the end of verse 5 again. There David declares, "The floods of ungodliness made me afraid." Now that word afraid, it's translated from a Hebrew word which refers to a person who is startled and terrified and overwhelmed with fear. And from this we can see then that David was overwhelmed with fear as he found himself spiritually distressed and drowning in a flood of his own ungodliness. And yet at the same time, we should also understand that this spiritual distress in David's life, it drove him back to the Lord, and it caused him to cry out to his God. With this in mind, if you would hold your place here in 2 Samuel 22, let's turn back to the book of Psalms. I want to turn to Psalms chapter 40. And as you turn to the 40th Psalm, I should remind you that David dealt with spiritual distress for many, many years. He dealt with this spiritual distress that he caused in his own life. And in the midst of this spiritual distress, David was on the receiving end of the Lord's loving correction. And during that time, David cried out to the Lord because he felt like he was drowning in his own iniquities. He confessed to the Lord that the burden of his sinful decisions, it was too much for him to bear. And in the midst of this spiritual distress, David was driven to repentance until the day when he found himself restored again to the Lord's good graces. And here in Psalm chapter 40, we find David. He's writing a song all about this. And he's rejoicing in the Lord as he recognized that the Lord had become his heavenly helper. Look with me beginning there at verse 1. There David declares, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more and can be numbered." Now here in these verses, we find King David. He's praising the Lord And he's praising the Lord because the Lord not only heard his cries, but the Lord also showed up and helped this sinning king who was drowning in his own flood of ungodliness. And the Lord spared him from the spiritual distress that he brought upon himself as soon as he repented. And though David was the one who brought this spiritual distress upon himself, the Lord was so gracious to help him. The Lord still showed up and brought him up out of the horrible pit and the miry clay of his own wickedness. And according to his gracious forgiveness, the Lord set David's feet upon the solid rock of salvation, which we understand is the foundation of Jesus Christ. From this, we can see here that this song of praise, well, it was inspired by the fact that the Lord was the one who saved King David from the spiritual distress that he caused in his own life. And I'm here to tell you that it's in similar fashion that I believe we too should praise the Lord, because the Lord is the one who shows up and helps us to escape our own spiritual distress. With this in mind, I'm guessing that there are some here this morning who find themselves facing a flood of ungodliness. It's possible that you've made some decisions in the past, and those decisions, they've come back to haunt you. Maybe you planted some seeds of wickedness in the past, and now you're bearing the rotten fruit of those sinful decisions. You're probably dealing with the spiritual distress which was caused by your own sinful decisions. And if so, then I would encourage you to recognize that the Lord is the one who is able to provide you with heavenly help. The Lord is the one who is able to come alongside of you and pull you up out of that horrible pit and to bring you up out of that miry clay and set your feet upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. He's the one who can do that. And you might find yourself drowning in a flood of your own ungodliness and you're trying to save yourself. It won't ever work. You will continue to struggle and kick and fight your way, but you'll only find yourself slipping deeper and deeper into your own flood of wickedness. And yet the person who will simply cry out to the Lord, the person who will simply ask Him for heavenly help, the Lord will show up and He will pull you out of the pit and He will set your feet on the rock who is Jesus Christ. Then as we begin to recognize that the Lord is actually our heavenly helper, we should not only cry out to Him, but we should also praise the one who is able to save us from our own ungodliness. From this we see then that those who want to engage in proper praise, they should recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome every physical distress, and not only that, but we must also recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome our spiritual distress. Furthermore, we engage in proper praise when we recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome our emotional distress. And with this as our focus, let's turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 22, because there we find the Lord writing about the emotional distress that he was struggling with during his lifetime. If you would look with me there at verse 6. There David declares, "The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me." Now let's stop right there, because here we find David, he's singing about the sorrows that surrounded him. It'll help us to understand that the word sorrow, it's translated from a Hebrew word, which in this context refers to the pains of sadness that results in mental and emotional distress. And we should also notice here that this sorrow, which was resulting in David's emotional distress, well, had everything to do with a place known as Sheol. Well, in order to understand David's emotional distress, we should take a moment to understand what this place Sheol actually was. I should point out that Sheol is another name for the abode of the dead. Or in other words, Sheol, that's the grave. And this is the place where the souls of the dead go and wait for the final judgment. Before Jesus came, Sheol consisted of two places, one where those who died rejecting the Lord would go, and the other place, Abraham's bosom, where those who placed their faith in the promised Messiah would go and wait for the Lord to show up and then free them from Abraham's bosom. So there are still people in Sheol those who are waiting for the final judgment. Well, it's possible that David was feeling sorrow for himself because he was approaching that day when he would die and find himself there in Abraham's bosom. I'm going to bet that he wasn't worried about his own death. I'm going to guess that he wasn't feeling sorry for himself because he was about to die. No, I'm going to guess that the sorrow of Sheol that he's talking about here, the sorrow of Sheol that surrounded him, it had more to do with the emotional distress that he suffered after burying several of his own children. For example, I should remind you that David's son Amnon, he was murdered by his other son Absalom. Then Absalom was later killed by Joab because of the rebellion that Absalom led against his own father. And I'm guessing that the sorrows of Sheol surrounded him as he considered his sons Amnon and Absalom. Not only that, but I should also remind you that David's first son with Bathsheba died shortly after he was born. And I can only imagine the pain that he went through as he considered the death of his young son. As we consider the sorrows that fill the heart of a parent who loses their child, it's no wonder why the sorrows of Sheol surrounded the life of King David. Then when you combine the tragic loss of life with the fact that David was partially responsible because of some of his sinful decisions, I'm left to believe that David's emotional distress was caused by the constant sorrow that filled his heart in knowing that he buried some of his kids, and partially because of his own sin. And yet, despite the fact that David was surrounded by the sorrows of Sheol, it's also true that his emotional distress ended up driving him back to the Lord so that he could look to the Lord for heavenly help. And then as he recognized that the Lord was his heavenly helper and the Lord was there to help him deal with the emotional distress that he was suffering, he was moved to praise. And he found himself singing the praises of God. Now, in order to prove my point, hold your place here in 2 Samuel and turn with me to Psalms chapter 32. Because it's in Psalms 32 that we find King David. He's writing about the heavenly help that he received from the Lord. And here in this song of praise, we find the sorrow of King David turning into rejoicing. We find his sorrow becoming praise as he recognized the Lord as his heavenly helper. But this is our focus. Look with me there at Psalms chapter 32. I want to begin reading at verse 1, because there David declares, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." Selah, which just means pause and think about that. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Selah. "For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Selah. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." Here in these verses, we find David acknowledging that those who walk according to the wickedness of their own hearts, they will end up surrounded with sorrow. Those who live for their own sinful pursuits, they will find themselves drowning in their own emotional distress. But those who simply turn their faith to the Lord, they'll be surrounded with the Lord's mercy. To me, the choice is obvious. Emotional distress or everlasting mercy. If we walk according to our own wickedness, then we're surrounded with sorrow. But if we trust in the Lord and walk by faith with Him, we're surrounded by His mercy. Therefore, if you find yourself, and you're here this morning, and you're surrounded by the sorrows of Sheol, then I'm here to tell you that your focus is in the wrong place. Stop looking at the grave and start looking to the Lord. Focus on Him and walk by faith in Him and allow Him to surround you with His mercy. And as you receive the sure mercies of Jesus Christ, you'll begin to recognize that the Lord is our heavenly helper. And it's with this realization that the sorrow will give way to rejoicing. And as we shout for joy, we begin to sing the praises of the Lord who alone is praiseworthy. So we see then that those who want to engage in proper praise, we should recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome every physical distress, and we must also recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome every spiritual distress, and we must recognize that the Lord helps us to overcome every emotional distress. But finally, I want to point out that we engage in proper praise when we recognize that the Lord also helps us to overcome every social distress. And with this as our focus, let's turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 22, because there we find David. He's writing about the social distress that he was struggling with during his lifetime. And if you would look with me there at verse 6, there David declares, "The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me." Now here in the second half of this verse, we find David. He's writing about the social distress that he was constantly facing. Remember, David was a man who dealt with a lot of social issues. A lot of people hated him, even people within the nation of Israel. And in order to understand how I get the concept of social distress from this text, I should point out that the word snare, well, it refers to a noose. It refers to a trap. And this noose or this trap, it was designed to bring injury and even death to the person caught in it. And here in this text, we find David, he's personifying these snares. And he declares this, "The snares of death confronted me." Now, a trap or a snare, it doesn't confront anyone. It just sits there and you walk into it and it traps you. But not these snares. Not these traps. These were traps that were actually confronting David. The scholars of the New Living Translation put it like this. "Death laid a trap in my path." This idea of death coming along and placing traps and snares on the path that David was walking. And as we consider what David means by telling us that he was being confronted by these snares, I should remind you that David was a man who spent a great deal of his life hiding from his kinsmen who wanted to kill him. Not only was he running from the wrath of Saul's army prior to being crowned king, but he also spent time running from his own son Absalom during the time of Absalom's rebellion. And all along the way, there were other people who were attempting to trap him so that he might be captured and so that he might be killed. And so he had social distress happening everywhere he went. Now, with this in mind, if you would hold your place here in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and turn with me to Psalms chapter 54, because there we find David. He's writing a song about the social distress that he was dealing with. And as you turn to the 54th Psalm, I want to set the stage for this song of praise by helping you to understand that David wrote the lyrics of this psalm shortly after discovering that a group of men from his own tribe had betrayed him simply for the favor of King Saul. With this background in mind, if you would, look with me there at Psalm 54. I want to begin reading at verse 1, because there we learn that this song was a contemplation of David when the Ziphites went and said to Saul, Is David not hiding with us? Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors have sought after my life. They have not set God before them, Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Now, here in the Song of Praise, we find David, he's praising the name of the Lord. And while it's true that the Ziphites, they were Israelites from the tribe of Judah. These Ziphites, though they were Israelites, that didn't stop them from setting a trap for David. They wanted to try to capture David so that Saul might show them good favor. And yet, despite the fact that there was this group of men from his own tribe who were setting these snares of death on the path before him, David was still able to rejoice in the Lord. And the reason why is this: he recognized that God was there to help him. He's saying, yeah, there's my kinsmen, even from my own tribe, trying to set traps for me, and yet the Lord's going to help me. Now, it's possible that you're here this morning and you truly believe that someone's trying to set traps in your life as well. Maybe someone's setting a snare to capture you. Maybe it's your ex. Maybe your ex-spouse is trying to make your life miserable. They're doing everything they can to keep you from seeing your kids, or they're doing everything they can to take you to court to get more money that you don't have. So you just feel like they're just trying to trap you and ensnare you and even destroy you. Maybe it's a coworker who really wants your position. They want your paycheck, and so they're doing everything they can to get you fired so they can sneak in and swoop in and take that job from you. So they're constantly setting traps. They're trying to expose you as being a person that you're not. Maybe you just feel like the snares of death are more spiritual in nature. And unlike any time before in your life, you just feel like the devil and his demons are just attacking your family like never before. Maybe you just feel like there's just waves and waves of attacks. And the enemy is trying to set these traps to destroy you. If any of this sounds like you and you find yourself being confronted by the snares of death that are being set by the enemy, then I want to encourage you. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the God who helped David through his time of trouble. Call upon the one who delivered David from the snares of death. If the Lord was able to deliver David from so much, don't you think that he can deliver you too? If the Lord was able to come along and save David from all of his enemies, is it hard to believe that the Lord can do the same for us? We have to recognize that the Lord is our heavenly helper. And as our heavenly helper, he wants to set us free from every snare. So we must recognize him as our heavenly helper. And as we begin to recognize that our Lord is our heavenly helper, then we can begin to give credit where credit is due. Once we begin to recognize that the Lord is the one who helps us out of every issue, the Lord is the one who spares us and saves us and helps us in our time of trouble, once we begin to recognize this, then we can start giving credit where credit is due. And we do this by praising our heavenly helper who is always there to help us to escape the snares of the enemy. Now, as we consider all the ways that the Lord helped King David, I should point something out. It could be easily missed here. Because listen, it's easy for us to fall into this belief that the Lord, who is our heavenly helper, is supposed to help us to avoid every distress. Well, if he's my heavenly helper, then there should be no distress in my life at all. That's his job, to keep all distress from coming into my life. And so we pray in that way. We say, oh Lord, Spare me from every physical distress. Keep every spiritual distress from my doorstep. Make sure that there's no emotional distress in my life, Lord. And every social distress, protect me from it. We pray in that way, don't we? We ask the Lord to keep us from all distress. And then we find ourselves in the middle of life's distress. And we begin to think, well, where's the Lord? Where's my heavenly helper now? And then it becomes a question of, well, is he even praiseworthy? I've got this financial distress. I've got this relational distress. I've got all these issues going on in my life. I'm not going to show up to church early enough to praise him. I'll show him. He doesn't really deserve my praise because he hasn't helped me because I've got all this distress going on. And he was supposed to stop it from happening. If this is how you feel, then I need to point out something from our text. And it's based on the fact that the Lord didn't spare David from his distress, but instead he helped David through his distress. With this in mind, let's turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 22, because there we find David. He's praising the Lord as he recognized that God helped him through his distress. Look with me again there at verse 7. There David declares, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." Now, here in this verse, we learn that the Lord helped David in his time of distress. It was in his time of distress that David cried out to the Lord, and it was in his time of distress that the Lord showed up and became his heavenly helper. And from this we see then that the Lord doesn't spare us from the distress of this world, but rather he helps us through those times that we're facing. When we find ourselves facing the physical distress and the spiritual distress and the emotional distress and the social distress and all the different kinds of distress that we come across and all the different times that we find ourselves facing the distress of this world, it's at that point in time that the Lord brings us into his presence so that we might cry out to him and recognize that he is our heavenly helper. He doesn't want to spare you from the distress, but he wants to help you through it. He realizes that it's through these trials that we grow. We grow in our faith, and we grow to understand how awesome he really is. And as we begin to understand how awesome he really is, and as we begin to recognize how he is here to help us when we cry out to him, all of a sudden, our heart is filled with praise. All of a sudden, that 30 minutes before the Bible study makes perfect sense. And we begin to realize he's worthy to be praised. And we want to show up on time to sing his praises as a church family. In conclusion, I want to wrap up this study by encouraging you to recognize that our Lord Jesus is the one who is able to help us to overcome every issue that would cause distress in our lives. So rather than stressing out about it, rather than stressing out about all of those problems that might cause distress in our lives, let's simply begin to recognize that the Lord is here and he can hear us. And he's always ready to help us in those times of distress. We simply need to cry out to him. And with this recognition, we'll begin to offer proper praise to the one who is our heavenly helper. And listen, we can offer this proper praise even in times of distress, because the Lord is our heavenly helper. Let's pray.